This is Jay Sekulow live at the offices of the European Center for Law and Justice, where we've had a major victory on the issue of creationism. Hey, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. Our phone lines are open for you at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I'm here in our offices at the European Center for Law and Justice in Strasbourg, France. Very interesting and important development. Now, in Europe, they have what's called the European Parliament and the Council of Europe, and they operate basically as our Congress does, and it affects all of Europe. There was an attempt, and this is unbelievable. There was legislation proposed here in Strasbourg that would have been for the entire continent of Europe, every member of the European Union. The bill was entitled, you ready for this? The Dangers of Creationism in Education. A vote was actually scheduled on this 2 weeks ago, on Tuesday, June 25th, at the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, and that's the entire body. Our ECLJ European team, that's our European Center for Law and Justice here in Strasbourg, France. As I said, I'm broadcasting from those offices today. With me here this week is the former Attorney General of the United States, John Ashcroft, as well as over 50 students from around the world. I mean, literally as far away as Korea, the United States, Canada, a number of students, over 50, being trained in international law, being trained in national security law. So it's a great time for our students. Are getting a tremendous education. It's one of the benefits of going to Regent University School of Law is our European summer program. But there was this proposed bill, The Dangers of Creationism in Education. Now, as I said, a vote was scheduled for Tuesday, June 25th at the Parliamentary Assembly. Now, the Committee on Culture, Science, and Education actually presented a working document called, again, the Report on the Dangers of Creationism in Education. And they proposed 19 separate articles, draft resolutions, which would have foregone any discussion in a classroom between the theories of evolution and the theory of creation or intelligent design anywhere in the continent of Europe. In fact, it would have made a discussion of intelligent design in the educational setting illegal. And you ready for this? The committee went on to call this, again, this is the reports on the dangers of creationism in education, a threat to human rights if you were to allow the creation account to be discussed in the classroom. Now, this was being proposed for the entire European Union. With all the talk in Europe about the respect for pluralism and diversity as the hallmarks of European society, the European Council had no problems at least entertaining the ban, and that was until the European Center for Law and Justice went into effect, folks, a 14-page legal document pointing out that to censor discussions and the teaching of creationism would violate the spirit as well as the letters of the democracy enshrined in the European Convention of Human Rights, the Charter of Fundamental Rights of the European Union, and the United States and United Nations Convention of the Rights of the Child. We went on to assert the result of passing the resolution would be nothing short of academic censorship and be a violation of European law. And I am happy to report with the hard work of our European Center for Law and Justice, including students from Regent University and other law schools, that actual bill was defeated. So a big win here in Europe, a huge win. Could you imagine criminalizing the discussion of creationism in the United States, what the reaction would be? But they were trying to do that in Europe. If you go to ACLJ.org, by the way, you can actually read the memorandum that we posted on this. So a big win here in Europe, a huge win in Europe that we're very, very excited about. Again, 1-800-684-3110. We're coming to you live from our offices at the European Center for Law and Justice. Jordan's in our offices in the American Center for Law and Justice on the campus of Regent University. And we're taking your phone calls on a variety of issues at 1-800-684-3110. We want to get your sense of what do you think about the idea that in the United States Supreme Court right now, there are justices of the court that are actually applying European Court of Human Rights decisions, cases out of Europe, and they're applying it to the United States Constitution. Do you think that's right? Do you think it's wrong? Do you think it's dangerous? What do you think about the idea of European case law being applied to the Constitution of the United States? 1-800-684-3110 is the number. That's 800-684-3110. Also, Jordan, an interesting development in Washington that we're going to talk about after the break as well. So we've got a lot to talk about. Jordan, let everybody know how they can sign up on the petition to help our military chaplain since we've just celebrated July 4th.
There's two ways to do so. You can go to ACLJ.org and sign the petition or call our toll-free number, 877-989-2255. The petition to protect military prayer, 877-989-2255.
Now more than ever, our men and women who serve in the military deserve our gratitude, our respect, and our prayers. And those who serve in the military should be able to turn to their chaplains for prayer. But there's a problem. The freedom of military chaplains to pray according to their faith is now threatened. It's a troubling development, one that must be met head-on. That's why the American Center for Law and Justice is backing an effort spearheaded by North Carolina Congressman Walter Jones to urge President Bush to direct Defense Secretary Gates to issue new regulations to protect the constitutional right of military chaplains to pray according to their faith. That means ensuring chaplains can pray in the name of Jesus. Stand with the ACLJ and sign on today to the petition to protect military prayer. Send an important message to President Bush. Sign the petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. The petition to protect military prayer. You can also add your name online at ACLJ.org. It happens every day. People log on to the website at the American Center for Law and Justice, ACLJ.org, for critical resource information, information that makes a difference. People like Kim from Utah, who turned to ACLJ.org for legal information that helped her son complete a project for school.
He was not being allowed to use a cross for one of his ceramic stamps, although it met all the criteria for that particular stamp. We went to your website and we printed up three different things on students' rights, religious freedom, and he was allowed to use this stamp.
Listen, we are thrilled that that has happened, and that's why we have that great information available at ACLJ.org.
The ACLJ stands ready to help you with the information you need most, whether it's on Jay Sekulow Live, the ACLJ's daily radio broadcast, or online at the website for the American Center for Law and Justice. Check it out. Information that makes a difference. Online at ACLJ.org.
This is my right. A right given by God. To live a free life.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Coming to you live from the European Center for Law and Justice in Strasbourg, France. We've got 50 law students from literally around the world studying international human rights law, national security law. Professors, in addition to our staff here at the ECLJ and ACLJ, we have former Attorney General of the United States, John Ashcroft, also on our faculty for this program. He's also, of course, a distinguished member of our faculty at Regent University School of Law, as well as serving on our Institute for Law and Justice. And he will be our guest later in the week on the broadcast, so you're going to want to do that again. Coming to you from France, joins in our studios in Virginia Beach. I want to say something before we got a lot of calls coming in, before we go to the phones, we've got a lot of calls coming in. We had this major win, as I said, here at the European Union, regarding the teaching of creationism in the classroom, where they were calling it a threat to liberty. We won that. But at the same time, as we've just celebrated the July 4th holiday, I need to say something. Last week we played for you in a special series of broadcasts a debate that I had with Mikey Weinstein on the issue of prayer and military chaplains. While we won this right to religious freedom here in Europe, we are suffering a challenge for our military chaplains in the United States. And I want to encourage you, if you've not already done so, we're trying to get literally hundreds of thousands of you, and we've had a number of you sign on already, to go ahead and contact us immediately and add your name to this petition asking for an executive order from the president. He has the authority to do it. It's going to take an executive order right now. I want to encourage you to go to the phones, 877-989-2255. If you want to protect our military chaplains and their ability to pray in Jesus' name, as I said, we had this huge win here in Europe. We need to see the same thing at either the Congress or, more importantly now, at the White House. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. But I really want to encourage you to become part of the team on this, as we've just celebrated the July 4th holidays. 877-989-2255 to protect our military chaplains. We have a lot of phone calls coming in. Jordan, let's go right to the phones.
Vince is calling from Washington on line one. Vince, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Vince.
Hi, Jay. Congratulations on the win in Europe. And
thank you.
Also on the debate at the Air Force Academy with Weinstein. And I wanted to ask you to compare, because Weinstein was talking about tons of case law regarding separation of church and state.
Right.
And according to David Barton, in 1892, there was a Trinity case where the court cited 87 precedents to form an opinion that took them 10 years to decide, and the decision was unanimous. And then in 1962,
Well, let's talk about that. Before we get to Engel, let's talk about the Trinity cases, because a lot of people don't know this. This is where the famous quote came out of it, said, "This is a Christian nation." Now, you can actually trace it back, Vince. That statement from the justice can actually be traced back to Joseph Story in 1844 in a case coming out of Philadelphia, Vidal versus Girard's estate. And then there were a series of other cases. Up until 1933, it was not uncommon for the Supreme Court, when they were talking about the religious character of the country, to say that we are a Christian nation or a Christian people. Now, that did not mean that each and every person in the country believed in Christianity, or that you couldn't serve if you weren't, you couldn't serve in government if you weren't a Christian. That's not what it meant. What it did mean was there was this general understanding that part of the fabric of our culture was that we were imbued with, as a culture, a Christian thought, and certainly within the Judeo-Christian tradition. That has changed. You're mentioning, you just were mentioning Engel versus Vital. You start getting into the school prayer cases. But what I keep pointing out to people is the school prayer cases were limited in that it was they mandated school prayer by a state agency, the New York school boards or the Maryland school boards in those particular cases, that was mandating the prayer. There's nothing in the Constitution that prohibits prayer before, after, or during the school day, as even Justice Stevens said in the Santa Fe case involving prayers at a football game. The court said the school was too involved in the creation of the prayer in the Santa Fe case, but they went out of their way to say that there's nothing in the Constitution that prohibits students from praying before, after, or during the school day. I wish I could say the same thing for our United States military chaplains. There is a serious, serious threat. We just came back from Israel, and Jordan, you'll remember this. A number of the people that were on this trip had served in the military, one of which was a military chaplain, and they have said to me that this has been a very difficult challenge for them, this inability to pray in Jesus' name. And Jordan, you were on that trip with a number, almost 300 of our, over 300 of our members. It was quite an educational experience, but that was interesting, that kind of response we got from one of our own members.
It is, and it's response that we've gotten across the country while we've been fighting on this issue to make sure chaplains can do their jobs, which is why we're putting this petition together. We thought it would be a good time to reinvigorate this issue because of the July 4th holiday and the attacks on religion, especially the Christians, and the attack by Americans United on that Memorial Day celebration and things like that leading up to July 4th, honoring the men and women who serve our country by making sure that those chaplains who are on the front lines of battle, they're in Iraq and Afghanistan and around the world, make sure that they're able to do what they were trained to do. If you want to join this petition, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 so the chaplains can do their job. You can also go to aclj.org and sign the petition online. Ron is calling from Oregon on line 3. Ron, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Ron.
Thank you very much, Jay. Really appreciate your program. Jay, I'm a volunteer. I do a Bible study at a state prison here in Portland, Oregon. And okay. My question is that the prisoners, about a dozen of them, have been given a direct order that they cannot say the word God or the word Lord, and they can use any other derogatory language.
Hold it. Give me a context here, Ron. Sure. You're a volunteer at the state prison, so you're conducting a Bible study. In what context did the prison officials say you can't use the word God?
There is a mental health group that runs an addictive unit that's okay. Volunteer. And when they come into the unit, they have a general meeting, and the general meeting called Circle. They have had some complaints from different groups that people are professing their faith. And so they've been given a direct order that the term God or Lord, that they feel that is their road to recovery, that is their chance for addiction, and that they can't use that. And in the past, they've been able to use that form of expression. And they've been threatened.
This is incredible to me because, and I want to get you in touch with our legal staff here at the American Center for Law and Justice. One of the greatest forms of relief, whether it's the Teen Challenge Program, who we're representing in federal court right now, or prison fellowship, is the idea that when you've got an addiction issue, or if you're incarcerated, that one of the greatest ways out is the power of the gospel and the power of religious faith and practice. And they usually go out of their way to encourage it. In fact, there's been lawsuits saying it's, you know, too much encouragement, so to speak, which I think is ridiculous. And we've defended Bradford County in Pennsylvania, who had a faith-based program as part of their prison rehabilitation program. Had tremendous success. We ended up working that lawsuit out, and they're going to still be able to continue those programs. So these programs can continue, this idea that they're saying no to mentioning God. Now, was this a restriction placed on the inmates?
Yes.
So the inmates themselves were told, do not use God's name.
Yes, and they were threatened with being thrown out of the voluntary program, which would extend their sentence. And any other language is acceptable, very crude, coarse language. But that their expression of God, the program had been challenged.
Yeah,
that
let me tell you right now, this idea that you have to separate your faith from your beliefs and that your religious influences can't impact the way you're having a prison rehabilitation program is outrageous. I want to get you in touch with Ron, our legal staff here at the American Center for Law and Justice, and let me get you some help on this. We've handled these cases all around the country and with very good success. So we can get this resolved, but this is an absolute overreaction. And, folks, this points exactly what we're concerned about. The reason I brought up this fact that we won this issue of creation in the educational process, creationism being taught in the educational process here in Europe, is that in the United States of America, we've got this great, robust freedom of speech, and we've got a constitution, which, remember, they don't have a constitution in Europe. We've got a constitution in the United States. You've got a restriction here. Ron was talking about inmates in a voluntary program not able to use God's name, not able to talk about their faith. You've got chaplains in the United States military afraid to say the name of Jesus because they're afraid they're going to get reprimanded. We're handling several cases right now on behalf of chaplains that are either reprimanded or under investigation. Ready for this? Because they prayed in Jesus' name or they gave a word of testimony and it was, you know, videoed. I mean, this is, to me, absolutely outrageous. But that's why we played the debate last week between Mikey Weinstein and me in Colorado Springs at the Air Force Academy. It gave you a sense of really what was at stake. And that's why we want to let you know that we're fighting for our chaplains. We're fighting for freedom literally around the world. As I said, I'm coming to you from Strasbourg, France, at our European Center for Law and Justice here in Strasbourg with our Regent University School of Law International Law Program at the University of Strasbourg. John Ashcroft, one of our faculty members. So it's a great program here. We want to talk to you. If you got any questions, call us, 1-800-684-3110. One of the questions I want to ask you is your view of international law being applied to the United States Constitution. 800-684-3110. Also, post it online, aclj.org. Pictures from the trip to Israel, pictures also here at University of Strasbourg with our educational program. So we want to encourage you to do that. Go to aclj.org, look at the photos. You go to the media section. Jordan, also let people know how they can sign up to support our military chaplains.
Two easy ways to do so. You can go to aclj.org or call our toll-free number, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org and sign the petition to protect military chaplains online.
Going to Regent University is a very personal experience, and God is with us here all the time.
For Linda Royal, the attraction to Regent University's undergraduate program was the school's Christ-centered worldview. She knew about Regent's Christian commitment, but didn't realize that Regent had a lot more to offer. She's majoring in communications, and it didn't take long to find out that Regent undergrad has a top-notch faculty and staff dedicated to making a difference.
I'm really learning from people who have multiple degrees in their field, who have a lot of practical experience in the things that they're teaching. It's not just about the degree that I'll receive.
At Regent University, we believe in leadership to change the world. Learn more at regentundergrad.com. And for more information or to apply, call toll-free 1-800-374-4504. That's 1-800-374-4504. Enroll today. And just like Linda Royal, you'll realize that when you choose Regent, you're choosing to change your life.
Everything that we learn here is something that we can use in what we plan to do and what God has planned for us to do.
Now more than ever, our men and women who serve in the military deserve our gratitude, our respect, and our prayers. And those who serve in the military should be able to turn to their chaplains for prayer. But there's a problem. The freedom of military chaplains to pray according to their faith is now threatened. It's a troubling development, one that must be met head-on. That's why the American Center for Law and Justice is backing an effort spearheaded by North Carolina Congressman Walter Jones to urge President Bush to direct Defense Secretary Gates to issue new regulations to protect the constitutional right of military chaplains to pray according to their faith. That means ensuring chaplains can pray in the name of Jesus. Stand with the ACLJ and sign on today to the Petition to Protect Military Prayer. Send an important message to President Bush. Sign the petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. The petition to protect military prayer. You can also add your name online at ACLJ.org.
Live from Strasbourg, France, at the European Center for Law and Justice, it's Jay Sekulow. Jordan's in our studios in Virginia Beach, Virginia. We have got a lot of phone calls coming in at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. I want to encourage you to go to the website, aclj.org. We've got a lot of information posted there and a lot of pictures from our meetings in Israel as well as here in Europe with our students. So we want to encourage you to go to aclj.org. Look at the trial notebook section. You can see the pictures there. You can also see them in our graphic rotation or go to the multimedia area of the website. If you're just joining us, a major victory here in Europe involving the teaching of creationism, intelligent design in the schools, because, folks, it was going to be illegal, deemed to be dangerous, deemed to be hate, almost like hate speech. It was unbelievable what was being proposed. 19 resolutions were being proposed. The good news is we won significantly, and a great, great win. So we're very encouraged about that. We've got a lot of phone calls coming in. 1-800-684-3110 is the number if you want to try to get in the conversation. Lines are jammed now, but keep trying. Jordan, who do we have next?
Let's go to Brian calling from Kentucky on line 6. Brian, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jay.
Hi, Brian.
Brian, how are you today, sir?
Great. How can I help you?
I have a question concerning religious freedom. I conduct Bible studies in a jail in Clark County, Indiana, just across the river from Louisville. And the inmates at the county jail have been denied the ability to be baptized upon confession. It's my religious belief and the congregation that I belong to that baptism is essential for salvation.
What is the basis? Can I ask you a question, Brian? I'm trying to think of what could be the basis upon which they're denying baptism. I mean, usually they have a chapel in the facilities, and they usually have a baptismal.
This particular unit is under reconstruction, and the chapel has not been completed yet. However, we have portable baptismals that we can take in with us.
Did they cite any kind of security issue, or what was the reason they gave you?
The reason they gave me was not very good. They said that the reason they won't allow us to baptize is because if one wanted baptized, all of them would want to be.
That's not a basis upon which they should deny, you know, religious liberty. You're doing an honorable thing by going in as a volunteer into the prisons. You know, we've had a lot of these cases. You've probably been listening to the broadcast today. We've had a number of these cases, and we've argued them successfully. What I need to do, Brian, is get you in touch with our legal staff here at the American Center for Law and Justice. We got to get the details. But again, they're not even citing a security reason. That should not be an issue. You hang on the line. Let me get a... get you in touch with our legal staff here, and let's get you some help on this. Again, you're doing an honorable thing, a good thing by going in there, but they shouldn't be being denied the right to be baptized. That is absolutely makes no sense, unless they're arguing some kind of national security or local security issue in the prison, and I can't imagine what that would be. So you hang on the line here. We'll get you some help.
Rocky's calling from Oregon on line 5. Rocky, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, how are you?
My question has to do with... Oregon tax property tax exempt status, and
yes, sir.
We are a Presbyterian church. The property that we are on, we've been on for 50 years. We've just acquired some additional property for expansion purposes. Part of that land has there's two buildings that were used for rentals. They're still continuing to be used for rentals. We understand and that there is no property exempt status for that. There's other building that we're using for church purposes that we went through the process of applying for a property tax exempt status. We
and
were
did
advised
they deny it, saying
that,
it, what was the reason they denied it?
But there had to be an inspection. We attempted to be a part of that inspection, attempting to make the doors open and be present to answer questions and all of that. All of that was denied. We did get a letter in the mail that said that they didn't think that we were utilizing it in a property tax status manner. So it was
denied. Let me do this. Let me get you right in touch with our lawyers at the American Center for Law and Justice. We have literally handled tax-exempt cases on property taxes from coast to coast, and we've won each and every one of the cases. We're litigating one right now in Texas. We've had a number of them around the country. We've got experts in this area. The church is our tax-exempt when they're used for religious purposes because it was thought, and it's true, that churches give more to the community than the tax base would be worth, whether it's through outreach programs, ministry, whatever it might be. And this idea that you would remove this is just absolutely ridiculous. Let me get you in touch with our legal staff. We'll get you some help right away.
Let's go right back to the phones. Al is calling from Massachusetts online, too. Al, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jay. Thank you for taking my call, and congratulations on that European victory.
Thank you.
Basically, my main question was, a comment was, a few years ago, I heard that the European Union, they were going to vote on whether to accept the Ode to Joy as a national anthem. And the argument, of course, it's a Christian-based song, and the argument
Not only did they deny that, Al, they have, here in the European Union, they have, in their attempt to get a constitution, they would not put in any religious reference to the heritage of the area. They wanted to be religion-neutral, which sounds, you know, lofty, but really ends up being religious hostility. And as I said, if you look at this case that we have right here in Strasbourg, this was the Council of Europe, they said it was a threat to allow teachers to discuss creationism alongside of evolution. They were going to make it illegal. And they had 19 points of reference that they were going to bring in this legislation. Fortunately, we carried the day on that, and we won. But you can imagine that it was shocking, to say the least, that this would happen. But as I said, Al, let's not be too shocked at what's happening here in Europe, because right in the United States of America right now, chaplains in our military, and we just celebrated July 4th, are being denied the right to pray in Jesus' names, aren't being intimidated to use a particular faith statement in their prayers. And that's why we need this executive order. And we wanted to do this, especially centering around the July 4th celebration last week. We want to make sure that we're standing with our military. I want to encourage everybody that's listening to my voice right now to go to the phones and add your name to the petition to protect our military chaplains. We're talking about all these victories, but we need to get a victory for our military chaplains. 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
Jonathan's calling from Texas on line one. Jonathan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi,
Jonathan.
How y'all doing?
Great.
I just heard y'all talking about us using, the judges and the courts using international law. I just feel that's kind of dangerous myself because, I mean, we fought a war called, you know, the American Revolution there so that we could govern ourselves with our own laws. And I feel that.
Well, not only that, they're trying to apply international law and European Court of Human Rights law. And I litigate. We litigate. Our European Center for Law and Justice litigates at the European Court of Human Rights. And we've had great success. But to apply the European Court of Human Rights decisions on a U.S. Supreme Court precedent when the European Union does not have a constitution and we do just makes absolutely. I mean, let's just talk about from a legal perspective. It makes absolutely no sense. And a lot of us think it's dangerous. Now, I just emailed, by the way, Drew Ryan and Than Bennett in our government affairs office to find out there was some legislation that was pending to make sure that the Supreme Court doesn't apply these decisions to our U.S. Domestic law. I'm going to get, hopefully, have an update on that for tomorrow's program. But it's a big issue and very, very significant. Let's try to get Chuck in, Jordan, if we can. We only got a minute left. Let's see what Chuck has to say.
Chuck's calling from Pennsylvania on line five. Chuck, very quickly.
Yeah, Jay, I'll make it quick. I wanted to let you know that I spent 2.5 years over in Iraq, and my experience with the chaplains there was that they weren't shy about acknowledging the name of Christ. And I know that's in a war zone, but I'm not sure where the pushback was coming from. You mentioned a number of different chaplains that you've had to support, but I know that my experience firsthand with the chaplains in the war zone was that they acknowledged Christ.
Yeah, that's good news, but I will tell you, there have been a story after story that Walter Jones has talked about on this broadcast where it's been exactly the opposite. But, Chuck, it is good to know that these chaplains are fearless and they continue to proclaim the message of hope to the troops. But, Jordan, we need to get people to stand with these chaplains here in the United States and around the world.
Two-way Suso, call our toll-free number, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org and sign up online.